sexually immoral, those practicing homosexuality, slave traders and liars and perjurers, and for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine, that conform to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he entrusted to me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first. But for that very reason, I will show mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honour and glory forever and ever. Can negative things be shown in positive ways? If something is wrong or negative, can we see the good in it? Now, the thing that is bad may not ever be good. But maybe we can see positive things through the bad situation. The other day, Real Madrid, football team, were down by 2 goals. And then, when 19 minutes of the game were up, there was only a few minutes left. All they had to do, and in those last few minutes, they scored 2 goals. They went to extra time and eventually won the game. The negative of their opponents, Man City, getting lazy, allowed them to show their greatness, their ability to win at the last minute. Or maybe in superhero movies, it's definitely a negative thing when some evil person goes around killing a load of people. But it's at that moment that we see who the hero is and how powerful they are. And we get that in real life. Something like 9/11 was awful. But it was at that moment that you saw the wonderful work of people doing their jobs, such as firefighters. Sometimes, awful things allow us to see the good in other people. So what good can sin show us? Let's look at today's passage. Last week we saw that Paul is writing to Timothy. We saw about false teachers, people teaching the wrong things. They're teaching false doctrines, the false truths of the Bible. These are things that don't work alongside the gospel, the truth of Jesus, that Jesus is for. They're devoting themselves to myths and endless genealogies, things we looked at last week. These are things that take us away from speaking about what matters, the gospel of Jesus. They don't advance God's work. They're leading to meaningless talk. They don't know what they're speaking about. They're leading people away from faith and love. Faith is what's needed. Love should be the goal. And now we're introduced to an area that is being taught wrongly. Let's read again from verse 8. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. We also know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and perjurers, whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine, according to the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which is trusted to me. In our first section today, we see that the law is for sinners. Law is for sinners. So we're introduced to something that is being taught wrongly. This chapter 2 and 3, as I said, is all about false teachers and Timothy's role in stopping it, as it doesn't lead to love. In our verses previously, the last verses Joel spoke about last week, it says in verse 6, some have departed from me and have turned to meaningless talk. They want to be teachers of the law, but they do not know what they are talking about, what they are so confident of concerning. So our section, we are introduced to one thing that is being taught wrongly, the law. murder someone, and it is clear that they murdered them, they sometimes get 25 years. And Johnny Depp and Amber Heard are currently in court at the moment, trying to prove who has done wrong things with their marriage. That's a law situation. It's similar in some ways in the Bible, but we also see it used in slightly different ways in the Bible as well. We see it used in different ways, so sometimes it's used to refer to the Ten Commandments, so what we read earlier from Exodus, the Ten Rules in Exodus, and the second book of the Bible. And these were given to Israel, God's chosen people, in the Old Testament. And sometimes it's used to refer to the whole of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Paul, who writes this letter, when writing a letter to the Roman church, he refers to the whole of the Old Testament. So you can see that the word law is sometimes used in different ways. But I think it's clear from our context in our passage today, you can see it speaking about the things to do and not to do. We have a list of things that are wrong in the Old Testament. And actually, barring one of them, nine out of the Ten Commandments are covered here. A few examples. So from Exodus 20, it says, "You shall not murder." First line says, "For murder." Verse 4. "You shall not commit adultery." Verse 10, it says, "For sexually immoral, for those practices." Verse 15, "You shall not steal." Verse 10, "For slave trade." So how should we view the law today? That seems part of the problem of the false teachers Timothy is dealing with. Paul makes it very clear that the law of verse 8 and 9 is good if it's taught properly. Verse 8, "We know that the law is good if one uses it properly." Verse 9, "We also know that law is made not for the righteous, but for the lawbreakers and rebels." The law is for those who do wrong. It wasn't put in place for people who were right with God, those who had done no wrong. Which makes sense, doesn't it? If no one did wrong, what would be the need for the law? "You shall not do this, you shall not do this, you shall not do this." None of these would be needed if people were perfect. In football, if no one ever fouled anyone, you wouldn't need rules about two-footed challenges or bad tackles. If no one was ever late to school, if you were never late to work, you wouldn't need rules saying be on time. So one thing we can clearly see, by definition, is a law is for someone who needs it. You don't need to be told not to do something if you don't do that thing. The law shows us what sin is. If you are under the law, if you have done any of these things, then you are someone who sins, someone who isn't good. If you don't know Jesus, you are someone who isn't righteous. The law shows you. It shows you what you do is wrong and against God. They're not given rules, then break them. They're given these rules because it shows them what they break, what they do. It is good because it shows us our sin. But you may ask, are these laws wrong? Don't we know that these things are wrong anyway? I'd say especially today. But the general public know less about, when as the general public know less about Christianity and what the Bible says it is. If that's not the case, verse 2 says, verse 9, "For lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral, for those practicing homosexuality, for slave traders and liars and murderers." These are just a few examples. Many today would say being involved in sexual activity outside of marriage is okay. they are teaching the false doctrine. If the false teachers are teaching that the law is not for those who do wrong, then they are teaching the false doctrine. If they are teaching anything that contradicts the gospel, the truth about Jesus, the way they teach the law is wrong. It's clear that the law is a good thing in the lens of another letter from Romans, that Paul writes in much more detail about the law in relation to the law. When the law shows us what we have done wrong, we can see more deeply the wonder of Jesus. Jesus looks even greater when the law shows us just how we well, still are. If you ever hear anyone say that we shouldn't be guilty, we don't need to think about receptions anymore. They're wrong. They are not teaching, they are doctors, they don't care about the glory of the blessed God. Sound doctrine comes through the gospel. It glories God, and it is trusted. Any who bears contrary to that false doctrine. The law is for sinners, it reveals our sin. What about us? Now let's read from verse 1. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that he considers me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out in me abundantly, along with the faith and love. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves all of us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example to those who believe in him. Through the law, we see our bodies. We see all the ways in which humans have rejected God and those around them. In our next scripture, we see someone who is so bad, so lost, but in this person, being saved, it shows us clearly the wonders of Jesus. Jesus came to save sinners. That's the second truth we see today in our passage. Jesus came to save sinners. The law reveals our sin. Paul speaks about his thankfulness to Jesus. Jesus, despite Paul's wickedness, by his sin, chose Paul as one who could be faithful. He was once saved by Jesus, he could be a faithful servant. Paul was so wicked. If you read through the book of Acts, which is set straight after Jesus' death and resurrection, Paul is one of the key persons of the early church. He has people hunted, he has people beaten, he votes for people to be killed. He's awful, Paul was awful. Yet verse 12, Jesus appointed servants. Paul was a blasphemer, someone who speaks against God. A persecutor, someone who hunts someone down, hurts them, harms them. Why do you know that? Yet Jesus showed his mercy. Just to clarify this verse, Paul isn't saved because of his ignorance and unbelief. It's not a good thing to say Bible says it's right, disagreeing with the Lord, disagreeing with the gospel, that leads to faith and love. Let's read on verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I will show mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who believe in him. We'd already started looking a moment ago at how good he was. But here he makes it clear that he was the worst. As we've already spoken, Paul is probably referencing to his persecution of the early church. I'm going to read you from the section of Acts. It's what Paul says about himself. It's him speaking about after his conversion, about what he had done before. Acts 26, verse 1. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus. And that is just what I did. On the authority of the chief priests and the religious leaders, I put many of the Lord's people in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to trust him. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down on the cities. Paul hunted them like dogs. He hated Jesus. He was the worst. Twice he writes this. Verse 15, I am the worst. Verse 16, the worst of sinners. Paul was awful. Yet Jesus had mercy on him. Jesus saved him. You get people today who are like, what do you change his heart? We grew up in countries where they kill Christians. Based on Afghanistan, parts of Syria, parts of Nigeria. Those that persecute and even seek the death of Christians. Paul was one of those people. So verse 16 says, But, for that reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display immense patience. Jesus showed mercy by saving him, so Jesus could show everyone the patience he had in saving him, so that we can understand that Jesus had patience for everyone, even the worst. Paul was saved so people like us see that Jesus is willing to wait for him. Jesus waiting for Paul and saving even him shows he could be waiting to save anyone. Jesus came to save sinners. In Paul, Jesus came to save sinners. It doesn't matter how bad someone is, how bad you think you are if you're not a Christian. Jesus is patient. We can have that confidence that Jesus can save even the worst. He can save Putin. Persecutors of Christians around the world can be saved. Your friends, your family. Despite how much they're not interested or how they speak to you, how they treat you, being a Christian, Jesus can save them. He has patience. Do you ever think that patience is cut out of anyone? Look at this text and see the patience he has for Paul. All that time Paul did wrong, he sinned in such drastic ways against God and Jesus' followers, yet Jesus' certain patience is shown. Jesus came to save sinners. All of us are sinners. That's why we need Jesus to save us. All of us can look at the law and see that it applies to us, whether it's being rude to our parents or worse, whether it's being sexually involved in sexual immorality, watching porn, looking at people lustfully, or being involved in sexual activity with others. Whether it's stealing, watching sports on TV or illegal websites, or robbing a bank. I could go on. Anything else that involves harming or doing something wrong to anyone or God is sin. Yet Jesus came down to this earth and died and he rose from the dead. We deserve punishment for being sinners. values to this, the way you treated others, the way you treated God, how maybe you still treat God and others today. Look at how Paul was. Look at sin in the world. Look at the law that shows you what you about Jesus are. Sinner. The more we see our sin, the more we see how rotten we are, the more we feel like God. The more we see understands this sin, he sees, and he sees the glory of Jesus even more because of it. Pray that you see the awfulness of your sin. Pray that it might lead you to see more and more and more the glory of Jesus. Blessed be God, blessed be Jesus. Whether you put your faith, your trust in Jesus at 10 or 80,